North Report.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on North Report, where we explore all avenues of running a technology business in Toronto and beyond. We'd love to hear from experienced thought leaders and entrepreneurs where they can provide a unique perspective based on their experiences.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining us for this week's episode of North Report. Today is a special edition. We're down here in Sydney, Australia with myself, Eric Kim, and my co-founder, Eric Reich. In the studio today, we have Phil Shelper from Loyalty and Reward Co. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here.
Sure. Thanks, Eric and Eric. I am the CEO of a company called Loyalty and Reward Co. We are loyalty management consultants. So we specialize in designing loyalty programs or helping companies improve their existing loyalty program and everything associated with that. The design, the implementation, the running of the program, marketing strategy, customer experience strategy, everything to do with ensuring that customers join a program and deeply engage with it and get a lot of benefit out of it.
Okay. So that's pretty awesome. So you're working with a lot of the larger brands from what I've seen as well, and you've had some history in the loyalty space. I know you've worked for some telco companies as well as airlines in the past, but how did you get into loyalty as a sector?
Yeah, I was a marketing manager at Vodafone for about 8 years, and during that time I had the opportunity to work in the loyalty and retention team. And that gave me an introduction to the basics of loyalty. I then managed to pick up a role at Qantas Frequent Flyer. I was in the program design team there, managing all of the reward products, doing extensions of the program, managing all of the terms and conditions of the program, looking at competitor monitoring. And that gave me a really solid grounding. When I left there, I started getting approached by companies wanting me to consult to them because they wanted to draw on that expertise that I picked up from Qantas, and I started the company off the back of that.
Oh, wow.
Since then, I've consulted to over 45 different companies in Australia and around the world, written a book, established a couple of websites. I'm on the advisory board of the Australian Loyalty Association, and in conjunction with a partner, I'm about to launch a loyalty and customer engagement course later in November.
Oh, wow. So where can people find that course?
It's online. It's going to be running in Melbourne, and then we're hoping to have another one up in Sydney next year, and then ideally we'll be taking it internationally as well.
Okay, awesome. And you mentioned you wrote a book, and I know I quickly looked up what that was. It's called Blockchain Loyalty. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So I think there was a lot of hype globally around blockchain a couple of years ago, and yeah. I was very interested in the concept of a loyalty program where the program could provide members with a reward as a cryptocurrency instead of points and miles. And so I explored that area quite deeply and wrote a book off the back of it talking about using blockchain in the front end with cryptocurrencies, but also in the back end as an enterprise layer. And there's companies such as Emirates Airlines who are using blockchain layer in their back end in order to facilitate faster transactions, more secure transactions, less administration. So there's actually a really big future of using blockchain in loyalty. It's a really interesting space.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So I know that, personally, I have an opinion about blockchain that a few people know about. Yeah. It's that there are limited applications for it, but if you find the right application, it can really take off. And throughout your time working with blockchain in the loyalty space, Do you feel like it's going to be something that's definitely here to stay, something that's going to be growing out?
Yeah. Look, I think the cryptocurrency-powered programs, I think, will be challenging because generating enough demand within a loyalty program in order to support the price can be quite challenging, particularly for a startup loyalty program. We think that if Facebook can be successful with Libra and get that launched as a trading currency on their platform, that will morph into a loyalty program where merchants will be able to reward people with Libra. There'll probably be a Facebook Libra credit card where people can spend and earn Libra, and so on and so forth. So we think there's a huge amount of opportunity there. Line messaging app in Japan are talking about launching their own cryptocurrency for a similar purpose as well.
Okay.
So there is a lot of big opportunity there. But in the short term, companies like Loyal, based in San Francisco, are doing some really amazing stuff in the back end with their enterprise layer. And we think that's where the big opportunity is for the time being.
Awesome. Okay. So you've worked across a few sectors now, as we mentioned, at least professionally in telco and airlines, as I mentioned. And then you've consulted. So what are some of the sectors that you guys have consulted for?
Yeah, look, we've pretty much consulted to every industry over the past 7 years. The great thing about loyalty is it's very cross-industry skill set. So the types of things that will work in one industry will work equally in another. So we've got quite a rich portfolio of different projects that we've worked on now.
Mm-hmm.
We're confident that we could go into any industry and be able to design a really great program that would suit that particular client based on what their objectives are.
Okay. I guess it is pretty unique per sector, and it's like about knowing the nuances about loyalty programs in general, which you guys have had a ton of exposure to. How does it differ like from sector to sector, and what's an example of how one sector differs from another?
Yeah, what we tend to see is that loyalty program designs within a sector can often homogenize. Sometimes it's a result of a particular type of program suiting a particular sector. But more often than not, what we see is companies only looking within their sector and not looking outside of their sector for inspiration. And often it's a case of them mimicking their competitors. So their competitors will come out with a particular program design, and then they'll do the same design but a little bit better. Mm. And so they'll all keep doing that and rush towards the same spot. One of the big opportunities for a good quality loyalty program is an opportunity to differentiate a company, particularly in a industry which is quite homogenized and competitive.
Mm.
But we tend to see the opposite. Everyone does the same thing and just end up making them look more and more the same.
Yeah.
So we always try to do the exact opposite. We've got a bit of a punk ethos at Loyalty and Reward Co. We like to break things and make them contrast to what everyone else is doing, because we think that that's such a great market opportunity.
So without giving up too much secret sauce, like what are some ways that companies can differentiate themselves from the market?
Yeah. The main ways is firstly by making the program super simple to join and to understand. Most companies design a program which is way too complex, and that really reduces member engagement. The second way is to make sure that they're delivering good value. So if you think about the reason why you join a loyalty program, it's generally because you believe you're going to get value out of it. And if you continue to engage that with that program, it's because you perceive you are getting value out of it. The other thing, which is really the killer engagement element for a program, is an emotional element. So if you can make people feel that they've a sense of belonging or a sense of exclusivity in engaging with your program, then you're going to do really well. The perfect example of that is frequent flyer programs who, particularly amongst their tier members, make them feel like they're the center of the universe with early onboarding, lounge access, upgrades, all that type of stuff. So if someone is a platinum frequent flyer, you know about it because they're going to tell you because they've taken it on as part of their own personality.
That's true, actually. I mean, it's also because, I mean, you have a ton of people flying around and, you know, they want to seem important a little bit, and it plays into that lifestyle, I guess, right? It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I think human psychology sort of dictates that we love getting access to stuff that other people don't get access to. So sitting in business class, drinking a glass of champagne while all the plebs are heading back past you to cattle class makes us feel amazing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you guys talked about what's good in a loyalty program, I guess. What are some of the things that people are getting wrong about loyalty just in general?
That's a pretty long list, but there's a few things that we're seeing, that are certainly happening a lot in the modern era. One of them is forcing people to download an app in order to join a program, we think is a big problem. Getting someone to download any sort of app in this day and age is quite difficult because often people don't want to download an app unless if they're already convinced that there's value in doing so. And if they're joining a loyalty program that they've not had much exposure to, that can be quite difficult. So we're seeing a lot of companies come out where the only way you can join the program is to download the app, and they're really struggling to get a lot of engagement there. The other big one is really value. Creating a program where the member's just not getting enough value in the engagement is a surefire way to kill that longer-term engagement. Most retail programs face that problem, particularly things like fashion chain loyalty programs, because to get any value out of that, you would need to be shopping there every week, and most people just aren't buying that amount of goods, clothes, etc. So you end up in a situation there where the sales staff are really good at encouraging people to sign up to the program, but then they have quite big disengagement because most people aren't spending enough to get a reasonable return. There is ways to address all that stuff through good design, but what we see is a real challenge is most people are thinking that they're going to be the next frequent flyer program, and they use points and miles as their currency, and it just doesn't work properly for their sector. So there's misinformed or ill-informed design decisions being made as part of that.
What do you think would be a couple different indicators or reasons why somebody should consider a loyalty program?
Yeah, look, I think every company should be considering a loyalty program, particularly in this digital age. The main benefits for a company are firstly building out a marketing database of engaged members is really important. It will reduce marketing costs and increase the effectiveness of the company's advertising strategy. That's a really important one. Advocacy is a really important one. So if you can develop a relationship with a customer and convince them that you're a brand worth engaging with on a regular basis, they're likely to share that with friends and even refer those friends. So you build out your base in that way. Data is a really big one. So if a customer's coming to a store and transacting with you, but you don't know who they are, there's a whole heap of valuable data that you're missing out on. So if you know who they are and they're identifying when they transact, you get an enormous amount of valuable data that you can use to then influence everything that you're doing across your business. So really, if there's companies out there that don't have a loyalty program at this stage, they really need to start looking at it seriously because they're missing out.
It's interesting, though, because that data that you're talking about, I think we just had a chat before, and you mentioned that at least the credit card companies here, you're able to access some of the data for, I guess, personalization even for some of the clients. It's I'm not sure if it's something that we have back in Canada.
Like there's a few startups I know of, I think Amply and Drop are some that like you can start getting instant benefits by tying them. This like brand new program into connected to your card, but it's definitely not something that's mainstream.
Right.
So one of the big boom areas in Australia is card linking, where you can download an app or have a website account and connect a credit card in your wallet to it. And then when you go and spend at participating retailers, Visa and MasterCard will identify that transaction and send it back to the loyalty program. So they can then facilitate either a cashback offer or earning of points or miles. That's a really big boom area. The banks, the airlines, everyone's getting on board with this. So it's likely has a long way to run.
Mm. So you've been working in the loyalty space for quite some time. And tell me, how has it really changed, whether it's using technology or the trends that have come and gone?
Yep.
How have you seen it evolve over the years?
Yeah, it's evolving tremendously with digitization and with technology. Some of the really big changes that we're seeing is AI-powered marketing is a really fascinating one. Mm. Loyalty programs, as I mentioned earlier, is an amazing way to capture a lot of data about customers and about members. And some of the bigger programs in Australia are using full AI in order to power their entire marketing suite. An example is Woolworths, which is the biggest supermarket chain in Australia. All of the communications that are sent out to the members of their loyalty program are completely AI generated. So they've got about 10 million members, and each member who receives an email receives a unique version of that email. They'll load hundreds and hundreds of different discount offers into their platform, and the AI algorithm will go through and select a range of discount offers that are directly going to appeal to Eric as an individual, and then it will also measure how Eric responds to those offers and adjust and calibrate the communications for the next lot that it sends through. Woolworths is also using AI for their website as well. So when Eric goes to do his online shopping, it will identify him and it will adjust the offers that are provided to him as an individual in order to maximize the amount of spend that Eric is going to make and ensure that he completes the transaction. So there's really crazy stuff going on.
That sounds like it's very futuristic, and it's kind of a topic that has come up, at least in the areas that we've seen, in terms of trends for 2019.
Yeah.
And I guess even for 2020, it's the concept of hyper-personalization.
Yeah.
Right, where you're using AI to go and try to get analytics like per user, per customer, and then presenting that personalization.
Yeah.
What else is like an up and coming trend that you've been exposed to, that you've heard about? Whether it's a buzzword or something like that.
So I guess another one is the capture of SKU level data across coalition programs. So one of the things that the airlines don't have access to that the supermarkets do have access to, the supermarkets get to see what's in your basket, whereas the airlines only get to see how much you've spent at a particular retailer. Mm. So there's a lot of technology coming out that will enable those big coalition programs to actually capture what you've actually purchased, which gives them that next level of detail down to enable them to then facilitate much richer communications as well. So I think increasingly the loyalty programs are figuring out cleverer and cleverer ways to really get more and more into the detail of exactly who you are as an individual. There's also a lot of data brokers who are capturing information from different areas and selling that to the loyalty programs as well. So some of these big programs might have 200 or 300 individual data points and one of their members, which they use in very rich ways to improve their member experience, but also to provide ancillary services to other brands as well.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of wanted to change the topic just slightly, and this is kind of a classic one. What is something that you would have told yourself, 5-10 years ago, or somebody else that's interested in getting into management consulting?
Yeah. I probably would have said go for it. I came into it pure consulting about 7 years ago. I look back at the first lot of clients that I had and the work that I provided to them and really cringe because it was pretty rudimentary stuff. But with each project that I've run and each client that I've worked with, I've had the opportunity to learn a huge amount and build on that knowledge. So I feel like the caliber of the work that we're providing now is pretty good. The things that we do with each client, particularly if we go into a new industry, is that we join every single loyalty program in that industry, and we study a range of loyalty programs in the same industry overseas, so that we can get a really rich body of knowledge in terms of what's going on in that space. And so as we work around industry after industry, we're building out more and more experience and expertise about everything that's going on. And so that's really helped us to build out a really strong body of knowledge. The other thing that we do is spend a lot of time studying loyalty psychology, which we find very useful in helping to design out programs as well. So for me, I think just start by starting and get out there and pick up some clients and work your way through as best you can is a great way to go, because if you find yourself down the road in 7 to 10 years' time and you've managed to survive, you've got something really valuable that other people would find very hard to replicate.
Awesome. Yeah. So just for our listeners, what are some of the current projects and initiatives that yourself or Loyalty and Reward are currently working on?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're working with a superannuation company in Australia, or pension funds, as you call it in the US and I think Canada. And in Australia, superannuation is compulsory. So when someone gets their very first job, their employer has to enroll them for a super fund. And you can't access that super fund until you turn 65. So for a lot of young people, they think, well, I'm never going to be 65, so I don't care about that stuff. It's very boring. It seems something that's a very, very long way away. And so they don't really want to engage with that, even though by engaging with it at a young age, that's your best opportunity to actually build up a really good retirement fund. So we're working with a company who has an app that none of their members engage with, especially the younger members. And we're building an engagement program into that in order to get these young people interested and excited and wanting to know more about their superannuation. So that's a very interesting, challenging one. So we're bringing all of our skills to bear on that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So just to wrap up over here, it was a great conversation that we've had. We've learned a little bit about the Australian landscape as well as what you do and what Loyalty and Reward offers. What are three main takeaways that you want the listeners to remember for this episode, if you could list three?
Yeah. The first one would be in terms of loyalty programs. If you're interested in working in this space, join as many loyalty programs as you can. We often come across loyalty professionals working in this industry who actually don't themselves join very many loyalty programs. So it's really a case of making sure that you eat your own cake in order to build out your skill set. The second one would be study loyalty psychology. There's a huge amount of really interesting consumer psychology out there, which can be applied really well to a lot of different loyalty programs to provide some really great insight. In fact, most of the big loyalty programs are delivering this on a regular basis. And the third one is study loyalty technology. There's an amazing array of loyalty technology being developed all around the world, which is helping develop very interesting different types of bespoke loyalty programs, and getting a sense of what's out there would really, I think, help inspire a much more interesting and exciting design to drive customer engagement.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So finally, any shout outs or if you want to mention, I don't know, something that the users can go or our listeners can go and like find your book or download your classes, etc.
So earlier this year I released the second edition of Blockchain Loyalty. It's available on Amazon. So if you want a good read about what's happening in that space and about loyalty in general, jump onto Amazon and search Blockchain Loyalty.
Awesome. Okay. So finally, what's the best way for you, our listeners, to reach you, whether they want to talk to you personally or see what Loyalty and Reward Co. can offer for their companies?
Yeah. So myself and my team write a lot of highly opinionated blog articles, which we post onto rewardco.com.au. You can find our contact details on there as well. So jump onto rewardco.com.au, read our blog articles, and feel free to reach out.
Awesome.
If you'd like to be a guest on a future episode or hear more about a particular topic, shoot us an email at hello@northreport.ca.